It's Thursday, September 19th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuously running tech podcast. This is show number 891, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our September GoDaddy special. Get 32% off your order at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code GO32OFF1 or get a .com for just $1.99. We'll talk about that special here in a few minutes. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Tonight, I dig into a new cartoon interface, broadly known as iOS 7, and I cover a huge amount of tech and science news, along with some crazy stuff that happened here at the Cochran household today. So, hey, you know what comes next? Let's launch this, baby. It's go time.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm going to tell you, I got a great one lined up here for you tonight. I mean, there is just so much stuff to talk about. I'm really almost speechless to know where to begin, but I got a great stack of stuff for you tonight. So stand by. We're going to get into a lot of tech news. I mean, a lot. I had to parse down enough to make sure we made it really within the time limit of the show. But if you're new to the show, hey, thanks for being here. And if you're listening, thanks for, grabbing us on your commute or wherever you may be. And of course, if you're watching, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to watch us on the big screen or on your tablet, wherever it may be. Of course, you can stay abreast of everything that's going on here. You need to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Get subscribed to the show. Get subscribed to the newsletter. That way you'll never miss a single episode. Details are on the front page of the website. And of course, if you are got a device like the Roku or Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast, you can watch us on those devices as well via the Tech Podcast channel. And I'm real easy to reach out to. And really, listener feedback is what keeps this show humming. So we definitely want you to send in your feedback on the show. You can tweet me at Geek News, or you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com or call our hotline at 619-342-7365. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for you to make a comment. Audio comments via email is fine as well, but the majority of you send emails, which is perfectly good. Okay, well, I tell you, of course, part of the Tech Podcast Network here over at techpodcast.com, 140 shows, family safe, definitely want to get over there. If it's tech, it's here. That's the logo or the motto of techpodcast.com, so definitely check it out. We're streaming live tonight on YouTube. We'll follow this up with a live stream on live stream as well. So lots to cover, and of course, this coverage of this show tonight would not be possible without our friends over at GoDaddy.com and listeners like you. I tell you, GoDaddy has, they got a deal. I mean, a major, major deal for you this month. And, you know, basically they've, as you guys have seen, if you've been over to GoDaddy website, you'll know that there has been a major, basically a major change over there. They have really took some time to think through their new strategy, and really it's, you know, they're business focused, and we've got some announcements today from them as well on some things that they announced and some acquisitions they've got. You know, as the Wall Street Journal put it, the jiggle is largely been sidelined, and we've got a new spokesperson for GoDaddy. Jean-Claude Van Damme is our new spokesperson, and basically the theme is it's go time. And then you guys heard at the beginning of the show, I called out it's go time, and that's in reference to, obviously, let's get this podcast rocking, while at the same time, in acknowledgement stuff that the sponsor's done. But hey, what I want you to do to save money, this is what it's really all about, for you guys to save cash and save lots of it, Get a .com right now for $1.99 by using the promo code 199199geeks. Or you can get 32% off your order by using your new order by using the promo code GO32OFF1. Now, you can find all of my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's really where all the magic happens from being able to save a lot of cash. And those of you that are watching the show right now, I'm highlighting everything that's basically in the stack that allows you to save cash. $12.99 SSL certificates, $20 off on order, $75 or more. We've got $8.49.com renewals. We've got 20%, 10%, 15% off codes. We've got 3 months of economy hosting for $1.99. And of course, the two specials, the $1.99.com and 32% off your new order at GoDaddy by using promo code GO32OFF1. And, you know, the GoDaddy website has been streamlined. So if you go over to pickup $1.99.com, it's like three clicks and you're at the checkout counter. You don't have to go through and pick, you know, basically say no to a bunch of offers. So definitely follow the links from the website to get you there. That will make sure that you get expedited through the shopping cart and pick stuff up. We want you to use the code, share the codes, tell everyone you know about the codes, because every time you use a code, the cash register rings. I mean, really, it when you guys pick up products, it really helps the show. So we definitely appreciate every one of you that are supporting our sponsor over at GoDaddy, who's been with us, you know, really from the very beginning, close to the beginning, July of 2005. You know, this show kicked off October of 2004. We're coming up on our 9th year anniversary, which is it's pretty incredible. And show 900 is right around the corner, only 9 episodes away. So just a month and one show, or 9 shows from now, we'll be celebrating show 900. Looking for your inputs on what we should do on show 900. And it'll be exciting, of course. And then we start the march to the big one, the 1,000th show. So that's exciting in itself. And we'll have to have a theme going through next year as we march to 1,000. So let me just kind of back up here and just remind you guys that, you know, one thing that's important to me is that you guys get the best value out of the show. And as being part of the Ohana and family here at Geek News Central, you guys always feel free to drop me a comment privately or publicly, and I'll honor that when it comes to the end of the show and we get into the details. But really, it's a relationship. This show's about a relationship between you and I, and we have and hopefully as I put stuff out tonight and on any show that I do, that it's you guys feel like I'm talking directly to you. And if you ever feel that I become distant, definitely let me know. I definitely appreciate it. So this afternoon, I was not at the house. And I got this text. And, you know, my wife is currently studying to be a realtor. And she has also been doing some work for me here at home. And so I'm out and about, and I get this text from my wife, and it says this: I fell into the koi pond. I hit my back behind chest area. I cut my finger. I couldn't get out of the pool for a little bit, but I'm up and I'm okay. So that was in a text message that came to me. And for those of you that listen to this show and have been here for a while, the way this, my studio is situated, the koi pond is maybe 20, 25 feet from the studio. And the way it's designed is it's got two places. It's got a little waterfall, and it also has the standard filtration and everything. But what she was doing is the waterfall was not running, and she was up trying to pick up a ceramic pot that was off to the side that had broken, and it started to pick that up, and she slipped backwards and into the pool. And so the koi pond is maybe 3.5 feet deep at the deepest part, and she fell into the deepest end. And of course, it all slopes down, and it's greasy, you know. So immediately, you know, feet hit the bottom, and up she goes. And it's not that big, but she got this huge red mark across her back, and thank God she didn't get herself in the neck or in the back of the head. But she's okay. She's going to, I know she's going to be black and blue. But we really, you know, I was freaked out. And of course, she waited like a half an hour after it happened to call me or to basically text me. And I called and, you know, she says, I'm okay. I cleaned up in the shower and, you know, I said, take some ibuprofen and lay down and take it easy. And she's a trooper. I got home. She was up and about and moving around and fine. But it's one of those things where you're just like, you just don't know how, you know, something can change in a heartbeat. And we had talked to kids and talked to each other about the only time you're supposed to work in around that area is when you're with someone. And in other words, another person to help to provide stability, be a spotter, you know, and it's not necessarily dangerous, but if you, all you have to do is just kind of just one little slipping, you can get hurt. And it's, you know, it's got this, it's concrete and it's got a concrete lip and rock and, could have been really, really bad. I mean, with no one here. So very thankful tonight. She's fine. But she didn't get much studying done to be a realtor today. I can laugh now, but we'll see how she feels in the morning. Now, so I got home and, you know, when she has been really, really busy around the house here the last couple of weeks for painting and doing a variety of different things. And one of the rules has been, now many of you that have been watching the show for many years will remember that the studio arrangement used to be different. It was basically turned completely 90 degrees and the cameras were actually over here. And so I had gone away for a couple of weeks and I came back, and this happened a number of years ago. I came back on a show day and she had flipped the studio without me being here. And that, if those of you remember, that was a, my wife and I don't get into like these huge arguments, but that was one of those days where I was pissed for about 3 days, maybe a week. I mean, I was really upset because, you know, changing everything up, the cabling and everything that goes along with it. So she knows that this is kind of like Todd's domain, and you know, when it starts getting funny, she'll say something and I'll come in here and do a cleanup and get everything ready. But I came in this afternoon and I noticed a couple things had been moved around. I'm like, you're a little karma here, maybe. You're in messing with my office and you change a couple of things up. You know, that's a no-no. And, you know, so she goes, yeah, she says, karma got the better of me here. I was being punished for messing with your office. Now, I can say that now in hindsight 2020. We can laugh. But, you know, so I was like, do you know not to come in here and touch cables and stuff? So anyway, it was one of those days, but everything's good. We're all good. Studio's fine. Nothing's wrong. So I'm good. And she was very careful on what she did. So it was just, I was joking, but, you know, I come in here, see stuff moved, and, you know, my eyeballs get a little big. Got one getting ready to get a driver's test. Got another one under training. Boy, it's just been busy here. Podcast Awards getting ready to kick off on October 1st. Looking for some volunteers. So if you want to volunteer and help out with the reviews, please let me know. And, of course, again, fast approaching show number 900. So I look forward to bringing that episode to you, looking for, basically input on what we should do during that show. And, so definitely let us know what you think and email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. And, we'll add that to the stack because I'm already putting a planning list together. Now, one thing I did want to do tonight, a little different, and for those of you that are listening, I'm going to try to be as descriptive as possible, but I've got the upgraded iPad sitting here for iOS 7, and I just hate this interface. And, you know, some people say it's going to grow on you for a couple of weeks, but what I'm going to do for those of you that are watching is I'm going to turn AirPlay mode on here, and I can send this to the Apple TV, which is, let's see if did we get that? Yes, I think it's sent. Okay, so now I can, what input is that? It's input 7. I can switch basically the AirPlay into the system, so you guys can see the interface. So, you know, here's my iPad main page, and you can basically, you know, it really not a lot has changed from a, you know, the functionality on most of your apps are going to really remain the same until they get updated. But there has been, you know, significant changes. I got to keep this thing away from my microphone here, because if I don't, it's already tapping when it's trying to communicate. So what really I found kind of surprising to begin with was, you know, this new function that's on the bottom. And there's basically the ability to change the volume. You got play functions in here. You got airplane mode, Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth stuff. So really on the bottom of the display is all those things that you had to use to go to settings for. And you got the ability to use the camera and all that functionality. As well, by pulling down from the top, you've got the ability then to search, you know, in the iPad. And I've got a lot of different stuff in here. So, you know, searching is a big part of, you know, me finding the apps, because, and I don't remember where they're at. So again, and it's just, you know, pulling down in the actual screen itself, and then you can type and you can find stuff. But the biggest thing, or the biggest change, and let me see if I can make sure I got my finger in the right place as I've drawn that down, is the ability, and I've got some stuff cleared off here because I didn't want you guys to, obviously I've got client appointments and stuff that I didn't really want to show. So I removed stuff from my schedule for tomorrow. So, you know, these got this, these notifications. And again, I haven't been playing with this a lot today, as you're mostly using my iPhone. But, you know, it's got the basically these status, quick status functions where you can see your calendar. You can see text messages that you've received, Twitter mentions that have come in, a variety of different things. And you close those LinkedIn announcements, stuff from PayPal, you know, all kinds of different things that have come in. And then as you get done with those, you can clear those. And so those functions are no longer basically viewed. Now, the thing it's on my iPad, that functionality is not difficult to use. And what I want to do is I'll come back to the main screen here and let me actually shut AirPlay off. And let's go back to the iPad. And now if I actually grab my iPhone and do the same exact thing that I was just doing, and I turn AirPlay on again and I send the screen over to, so as you turn AirPlay on, yes, I want a mirror. I said done. So let me see. Did the screen come up yet? I'm waiting for it. It hasn't took yet. Sometimes it takes. There we go. So now if I bring up the screen with the iPhone. So what I found with this was that same functionality where, you know, you can search, or you can pull down and bring up the interface. Is when I was pushing on the X to close these out, sometimes I was having a hard time hitting the button. And that was driving me absolutely crazy today from a utilization standpoint. So that's one thing I've noticed. And also in the phone system, in contacts, or, you know, and when you, basically as I was trying to go through and edit stuff, things weren't super clear. In voicemails, the same type of deal. Trying to change the greeting and stuff just wasn't as intuitive. But, you know, some improvements I did like was the change up of the keypad, bigger buttons on the actual dialing sequence. Contact stuff was a little funky in basically trying to find a variety of different phone numbers. It didn't always go to the section that I was used to. The recent calls and stuff hadn't changed that much. From the previous interface. Of course, I always wanted to take a look and see what was happening with the podcast app. And really, there was no change to the podcast app from that perspective. That continued to function as normal. But there's, you know, a lot of just minor changes that have come up. The email, different types of ways this stuff is threaded now is a little bit different. It just looks and feels overall a lot different across the entire interface. Now, One thing that I will mention is that this thing is a battery eater. Usually I can go all day and not have to go into my backup battery until late at night. I had to go into my backup battery today at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or I would have been without a charge. So it definitely eats batteries a lot more. Now, the one thing that I don't think I do care for a lot is when you double click the main button, you now have this functionality that basically it definitely shows stuff that's running. And of course, my kids were playing some games on when they were in the car today. So there's some games that are loaded up there as well. But it definitely has a different feel. Folders and stuff feel a little different, of course, in the way they function. Overall, you know, besides the kind of the quirky way the icons look, and overall, I guess it's working, you know, working fine. But I'm having this difficulty getting over the, you know, the interface itself, and just the way it kind of looks. Every time I look at it, and I think that it looks like it's plastic. You know, to me, it doesn't. It's not that have that live and real vibrant color to me. And I guess that, you know, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's me and maybe I'll get over it. You know, obviously I'm going to have to get over it and deal with it at some point here. But I'm, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that they've done that I haven't found. And again, I haven't had a lot of exposure to this thing, you know, less than 24 hours really at this point. You know, I guess from that point, I'm just going to have to, you know, get used to it over time. You know, I showed it to some friends of mine that have Android devices. They really hadn't had a chance to look at it, and they were playing around with it for a while today, and I'm back over here on the iPad again, a little bigger. Oh, it didn't. What happened here? That's wrong screen altogether. So let me launch that again. Okay, iPad, Apple TV. So what I do is I have the ability to do mirroring on the Apple TV that's on my desk here that's tied into the TriCaster. And, of course, sometimes it wants to work. And sometimes, okay, are you going to take it? Well, I tell you, it always goes like this when things don't want to. Okay, is it switching? Okay, did then. Let me close that. Let me bring this back to, okay, so here we go. So, and, you know, I'm there's a lot of people making comments on the web about this interface, and either people love it or they hate it. I don't think there's really been anything in between from that perspective. And, you know, I guess one thing I do like is it will auto update apps in the background. So it's got some background tasking. Obviously, when you're in the system now, you know, the settings interface is got some changes to it. And I've been going through and looking at all the different settings, and it looks like my screen is a little behind what I'm trying to demo here. So let me come back to me primarily, and we'll put this down. But, you know, as I was going through and getting prepared for tonight's show, I was looking, you know, really for, you know, a lot of reactions and even tips for iOS 7. And everything I keep seeing from everyone that's writing, it says, give iOS 7 some time. You know, when the Apple first introduced the iPhone, no one needed any time. It was an instant thing. We all were really, really excited. It was fresh. Someone today told me it looked like a Galaxy interface. And I said, yeah, bring me your Galaxy phone. And we looked at them together. And, you know, honestly, it's got some similarities, but it's not that close. Some people say it's faster, you can navigate quicker. I don't know about that. The font support in the system to me is kind of shaky. You know, I think the fonts are a little light. You know, the multi-page folders are good for those of us that are app pack rats. And, you know, the background app refreshing to me is cool. And of course, those of you that have been on Android have had that for a long time. So it's nice that maybe I'm not going to have to wait for something to load all the time. It'll be refresh, but also we'll have to see what that does from a bandwidth utilization. But, you know, someone says, having been on iOS 7 for a while, that iOS 6 now looks old. And I don't know. I it's different. And I think people are having some of the same reactions I've had over, you know, the past couple of days. But there's definitely some concerns. Now, if you have an iPad version 2, I've heard some bad, basically some folks saying that they had really bad experience. Everything looks like crap. So I would really hold off until you see a little more stuff on the net talking about upgrading to upgrading an iPad 2 to iOS 7. Now, the site that probably has some of the better reviews that I found, and let me see if I can bring this. Well, that's lovely. Shockwave has crashed on Chrome. Typical when I have a lot of stuff opened up. So let me switch over to, let me bring this down. Let me switch over to a review I found on iMore.com. And they did a lot of basically looking at before and after. And let's see if I can blow this up a little bit so you guys can see this a little more here. So obviously, if you look on the, those of you that are watching, the left hand of the screen, they show the old enter password with the new. And the new obviously is, it follows the new motif of the keyboard. And then they do show the new background. And of course, I've got a picture of my oldest daughter when she was a child as my background picture right now. So that's probably not helping things a lot. But, you know, if you look at the, just this page here, it, you know, the new interface doesn't look that bad. But at the same point, when you, it, I think that background image is going to be really, really critical. On what you pick and how it's really going to help represent what you're seeing on the screen. And of course, the instant updates and stuff that are coming in is a big, big change. But they show some of the things that have been changed from like the compass, and the compass update was nice. I don't have anything in my newsstand, so I don't have to worry about that. But it just shows, this particular article shows a lot of differences, you know, before and after, and how things look now. So you can see really quite clearly the big change that they have made in the operating system screen to screen. So I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to take a look. And for those of you that are holding off, you'll get some idea on really this is some of the best screenshots I've seen in a well put together article that talks the differences between iOS 6 and iOS 7. At the same time, there's some great articles over at MacObserver.com talking about new and hidden iOS 7 settings. The dynamic type allows you to increase the type size a little bit in like your mailbox and so forth. So you can slightly increase, which is kind of nice. They've got this thing, it kind of weirds me out. Frequent locations. And you can turn this on by going to settings, privacy, location services, and system services. And this option, again, labeled frequent locations, it allows your iPhone to remember where you've been. And I kind of thought, I don't know if I want this thing tracking and telling me where I've been a lot. And I can see where if this is on by default, fellows or ladies that might be going places they shouldn't be might all of a sudden come up on their map tracker showing, you know, where you've hung out a lot and different map locations. And so there's definitely a history now within that system tracking where you're going. Of course, the ability to do dynamic wallpapers there, it'll actually change on the fly. You can pick from your camera roll or your photo stream or the Apple wallpaper that's been made available. The do not disturb settings, I always forget to turn that on. And I think I'll start doing that because what's happening here now recently is my phone's been ringing at 4 o'clock in the morning. People on the mainland are calling my phone, trying to talk to me and do business calls. And obviously I'm still asleep for at least another hour. So, definitely the update to that interface to me looks pretty good. And I think one thing that's also cool is they've got this ability to set up blocked callers. You can actually put up people on a block list and a blacklist, and it ensures you won't be notified of any calls or texts from anyone listed there. So I thought that was kind of eye-opening in that instance, because you now can actually, you know, just, and I don't know if it sends them straight to voicemail or what it does, but it's a place where you can put spam numbers in. And they have made changes to the from address in the email system. So you have a little better selection. You basically can select which email you want to show up in your reply to if you're using IMAP. So that was pretty nice settings. But the probably the refresh app, background app refresh is probably one of the biggest things. So it'll be updating all the time. As if it's a weather or if it's a stock app or something, they'll always be updating you. When you load it, you won't have to wait. The burst mode for photos, I tried that one once. That was kind of cool. I think the folks that do Pinterest and Instagram will probably have a good time with that particular feature. And they also have the ability to have it set up as be a mono or a note. Tones, you can have it basically it auto processes the images for you and give you different tones and so forth. And of course, AirDrop. Now, AirDrop is, I've got some learning to do on AirDrop, but if you want to share pictures and a variety of different things, photos, contacts, videos, wirelessly with other iPhone users, you enable it by swiping up from the bottom of the screen to activate the control center. Once it's on, then you show up as a destination for other local iPhones and iPads. And this doesn't require both of you to be connected to the same network. It doesn't have interoperability with your computer, only other iOS users. So this is kind of cool where if you want to send someone a picture or so forth, it'll work out fine. So basically you can send a photo. As a matter of fact, the one that the Mac Observer is showing is the Pebble. Now I did get my Pebble. I don't have it on right now. One thing I found out with my Pebble is, oh, by the way, so far I'm getting a lot of use out of it. I think it's pretty cool. I like the ability to get a quick look at a text message I'm getting when I'm driving and not have to, you know, even look at the phone, which we're not supposed to do anyway, right? And as far as emails coming in, it gives me a little header information on email. The challenge I'm having with Pebble right now is when I'm in my car, it distorts my Bluetooth audio communication in my vehicle. So I actually have to turn Pebble off when I'm in my vehicle. And there's a few people are having this issue, and I'm kind of working with the Pebble support people at this point. But just to let you know, I hadn't talked a lot about Pebble, but so far that's kind of what's going on. And functionality, not too bad, except the watch is definitely not stylish. It's heavy. The strap is uncomfortable. So there's some things that they could do to improve it. Now, getting back to iOS 7. There's a good article on Extreme Tech talking about six tips and tricks and ways to try to keep from being tracked so much. Talking about some settings in Safari, which you can turn on to help the prevent advertisers from tracking you so much. And I think that's a good one. It's got this unified search now, just like Safari in a desktop. Mobile Safari has dropped the dedicated search field. Now Apple's just pushing the smart search field that combines the URL bar with the search box. So this is kind of like Chrome as well. So that's cool. And so a variety of other things that on this particular article, but I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Now, a lot of folks that live outside the United States are not real happy, you know, when they announced the pricing and so forth. Of course, that was subsidized pricing with the major carriers here in the United States. So if you live outside the United States, here's what your pricing is going to be if you weren't already aware. If you're going to buy one outright, don't buy the 5C. Buy the 5S because it's just $100 more. The 5S in the unsubsidized market will be $549 for 16 gigs, $649 for 32 gigs, where the 5C is just $100 cheaper on both those models. So if you're going to just buy one and put a SIM in it, that's the price you're looking to go to the iPhone 5S as a base point. There's already been some discussion about a bug, and Apple will probably patch this pretty fast, but the iOS 7 lock screen bug is basically allowing full access to photos, apps, contact info, and so forth. And so they're going to issue a fix, but until then, you can protect yourself from an attack by disabling Control Center access on the lock screen in the settings. And I'll have a link up to the show notes on that. But this is a big one that got through through QA. There's also a lot of frustration going on that there's a short supply of iPhones, primarily overseas. Several networks said that the stock of the latest premium model 5S was severely limited in the UK, and it would likely cause a major disappointment to include very, very few models that were either gold or silver. So we'll see what happens. And I'm sure a lot of people are camped out. And so I don't know. It's too bad, really, that they're short. All right, let me go ahead and I think that's basically all I have. Oh, there was a few comments. Of course, the Apple folks have been making the rounds huge, and they were out and about. Tim Cook was basically talking about the growth of the tablet market and what it means for PCs. He made this comment. He said, "I've always said that the tablet market was going to surpass the PC market. I was saying that well before it was viewed to be sane to say that. It's clear that we're still 24 months away from that." Of course, Jonathan Ivey's made some comments on design, and along with their software chief on the implication of the developing the Touch ID fingerprint sensor, and those are on Bloomberg. I'll have those link up in the show notes for you to go through. But the biggest thing everyone seems to be saying so far is that Apple cannot rely on design forever. They have to really kick it up and make sure that they really are aggressive in stemming the flow of people going to Android. And really, what it is they're one iPhone or one release away from basically going downhill. So, Apple's got a lot of pressure. We'll see how many phones they sell. I'm sure they're going to sell a lot. But for me, operationally, the phone is great. Aesthetically, I'm not a big fan yet. So we'll see how long it takes me to become a fan. I haven't set this up, but you look at that's real exciting. No, entering your passcode to unlock it, is this, mundane gray screen. But, anyway, long story short, we'll see how this grows on me. And I want to hear your guys' thoughts too. Are you in love with it? Do you hate it? My biggest comments today on Facebook, Google Plus, and on Twitter, where I agree and I don't like the interface. But if you love it, I want to hear from you too and tell me why you love it. Please, please do that. And we will definitely read your comments on the air on the next show. And also, if you've sent an audio comment too, I'd love to hear it as well. All right, switching gears here, getting off the Apple stuff. And one thing I'll say about Apple, the press machine is fantastic. If Windows could get the press to get behind their product launches as much as Apple does, they would be well served, because you never see this much content on a Windows launch. All right, little shot of H2O there. Nielsen is saying that they're going to start looking at TV ratings to include monitoring on digital devices starting in 2014. This is a big admission. Nielsen, who is the premier American television rating agency, will finally enter the modern age when it begins to count people watching TV on smartphones and tablets starting next fall. The agency uses a special set-top box that plugs into televisions of its 10,000 volunteers. So this would be very interesting, because you can't really do that with a mobile device. So however, until September 2014, in September 2014, they're going to have to introduce something, some sort of measurement thing across the platforms. And so it's a digital programs rating. And I guess they're going to use 5,000 people to do that. So probably you're going to get an app or something. There'll be an app for that. But they could really track everything if they were smart. All right. I'll save that to the very, very end. Let me roll that one down all the way down to the end. There we go. So there was a tweet made today by Elon Musk. He invited engineers to work on Tesla's self-driving Model S. And this is very cool. He announced that his electric company was embarking on the creation of a self-driving automobile within the next 3 years. And he basically says, intense efforts underway at Tesla to develop a practical autopilot system for the Model S. Engineers interested in working on autonomous driving, please email autopilot@teslamotors.com. Team will report directly to me. So if I tell you, I bet you they're going to get some resumes. You know, if anyone that's worth their salt that wants some, basically, you think about working with this guy. You know, that would be, whew. You know, what an experience. So I'm sure he'll have no lack of engineers that want to play and to build something really, really cool. I've got a good friend. He drives a Chevy Volt, and he's just absolutely in love with the Tesla. And he paid his Volt off here recently, and I told him, I says, you know, you've got, $47,000 vehicle there that you can use as a, and he can trade that baby in for a Tesla. And he just kind of gave me this dirty look because, you know, obviously it's a big jump. 47 to 80 is a big, huge jump in dollars. But I would not be surprised in a couple of years. He's a single guy. I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years. He stashed away enough cash. He'll be driving one. But it's, you know, you got to admit, the Tesla is a beautiful vehicle if you can afford it. All right, Verizon is basically been talking with a lot of television networks. And according to the New York Post, they've been talking to a lot of major programmers about creating a national internet-based pay TV service. The Post says that while Verizon has pursued access to particular shows in the past, it's now exploring what it would take to acquire the content rights for a full suite of channels. So this is at the same time that they are basically talking about, hammering companies like Netflix and a variety of different folks with internet traffic, and with Apple basically going after TV stuff right now. You know, it's all about the content, folks. No matter what they say, they understand things are changing. And actually, I got a new term to introduce to you here in a few minutes. It's not cord cutters. It's a new one. I think you guys are going to love it. We'll talk about it when I get to it in the stack. But, they understand everyone's going digital. All right, I really want to switch gears here. And I want you guys to think about this. If this had happened in the United States, what would have happened? And those of you that are outside the United States, you can only imagine the potential security issue here. So in Germany, with German elections less than a week away, the Pirate Party has pulled off quite an extraordinary stunt. At a campaign rally by Chancellor Angela Merkel, a Pirate Party person flew an unmanned camera-operated drone just feet away from the somewhat amused German leader. So here we've got, okay, the chancellor. And basically the security folks obviously freaked out hard. And they found the operator of the drone. And the drone crashed just a few feet from where these folks were standing. Now let me show you this. And I can almost bet you if this had happened in the United States with a drone flying up to the president of the United States like this, that the Secret Service would have shot this thing. They would have pulled out their submachine guns and they would have blasted this thing from the air. There is no way that this would have ever happened in the United States where they would allow this drone to proceed to swoop down just a few feet in front of the chancellor. I just can't imagine this happening. And this is a major, major, major security issue. So the story goes on to say that seconds later, it's Pirate Party operator apparently having been approached by the police. The drone crash landed to the stage and was taken away by an official Why Merkel seemed to be amused, Germany's defense minister in the dark suit and red tie to her right looked rather less impressed. The party later confirmed that the stunt was a protest against the EU's use of surveillance drones. The objective of the mission was to convey to the Chancellor and Minister of Defense what it's like to be suddenly observed from a drone, said Markus Barnhoff, vice chairman of the German Pirate Party. The drone's 23-year-old pilot was briefly detained and later released. In the United States, that guy would have been stuffed, cuffed, and he probably would have been on his way to Guantanamo. But having successfully grabbed the headlines and attention of voters across Germany, it's doubtful that this would ever happen in the United States. If someone tried it, it would not be good. Now, let's back up, just go in reverse here about, you know, a minute or two. And let's think, if this hadn't been the Pirate Party, let's think for a second that if someone had outfitted a drone with a weapon or a gun, you know, a remote control type of detonation, this thing was close enough to these folks that if this had been nefarious, all six of those people would have died. There's no doubt in my mind. It got close. So do folks that are running for office like this, high office, have any type of protection? It just, to me, it was astounding. I mean, really, very astounding that this was allowed to happen. And, you know, you have to applaud them for, you give them an A for effort. But at the same time, you got to think to yourself, you know, you and I both know what would have happened if this would have been done in the United States. If they, you know, the drone would have never gotten close to the president or probably even a senator or anything else. So those of you that live in the EU, I'd love to hear from you. What you think about this? And, you know, is that what we got to worry about next? Is some lunatic that will try to use a remote piloted device like this to, number one, hurt people, hurt political, you know, elected officials? You know, no matter your politics, you know, elections happen, people get elected, and who's in office, you got to get behind them, the whole nine yards. You don't want nothing to happen to those folks. But I saw that article, I was like, wow. Love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com is email address. Good article on Torrent Freak. 432 million internet pirates transfer 9,567 petabytes of data a month. A new study commissioned by NBC Universal shows that piracy worldwide is on the rise. The report estimates in January of this year, 432 million people use the internet to access copyright infringing materials. Of course, this was done by NBC Universal. Big numbers. Big, big, big numbers. That's a lot of data. That's a lot of copyrighted content. At the same time, the RIAA wants web browsers to block pirate sites and more. RIAA CEO Carrie Sherman has basically outlined a vision for increased cooperation between copyright holders and service providers. He's seeking agreement with user-generated content sites and also to promote a new understanding of the DMCA. File hosting sites should be required to scan incoming leaks for piracy. And then he wants to make folks like Chrome and Firefox block and divert folks to go to other sites. We'll see if they ever make this happen, but they're trying. They really, really are. There's also a report that massive music piracy plunge has failed to halt decline in sales. In the UK, the estimated number of downloads tracked in UK dropped from 301 million last year to 199 million in the latest measurement. In other words, according to Ofcom's findings, a third of all music piracy evaporated in a year. And they think that has a lot to do with companies like Spotify, who are expanding their user base. And but at the same time, music sales is continuing to drop. So piracy has not solved the sales issue, as we all would likely expect. I can't tell you the last time I bought a track. Yeah, really, I can't. Now, for those of you that are out there doing any peer-to-peer and stuff on BitTorrent or going to sites and finding content, just beware. Scammers are flooding the Internet Archive with pirated movies. So, you know, the Internet Archive is was a place with thousands of movies and thousands of content pieces. But scammers are uploading thousands of links to pirated movies in the hope of luring visitors into downloading malware or signing up with a pay site. So just be aware that there's a lot of ugly payloads coming out of Internet Archive right now and probably should not be trusted in the near future. So I told you a little earlier I was going to introduce you guys to a new term. Well, there's the cord cutters, right? Those are the code cutters of folks like me that disconnect their television service and quit paying a cable company for television. But there's folks like my daughter who are now cord never. They've never had a cable connection, and they probably won't. And this is actually getting some more headlines in those that are cutters, because here's an example of an individual who is 23 years old, who watches shows and movies streamed from Netflix, Amazon, or directly from the broadcaster website using a computer hooked up to the TV in her home. Again, this type of an individual is known as a cord never, meaning that they have never paid to subscribe TV. And this is causing, for the first time ever, a drop, an actual decline. There was this, you know, this trade-off going on. And so this is big. The shift in viewing habits is putting pressure on cable, satellite, and phone companies by pinching subscriber numbers. The impact on the $80 billion pay TV industry is already being felt, with 2013 on pace to be the first year ever that total U.S. pay television subscriptions will decline, falling from 100.8 million from 100.9 million last year. So it's not a big drop, but it's a drop. This is the first time they've ever seen an overall, you know, across the board drop like this. So we'll see where this leads, but it's just the start. And as more of the, you know, generation, what is it, Y or X? I don't think it's X. The Y generation comes on board. It's going to be, you know, we're going to see more of this. Helium. You know, what are we going to talk about helium in a tech show for? Well, helium is, there's some concerns out there. Scientists and industry worry that stalled legislation, there's a lot of that going on in D.C., will lead to continued shortage of useful gases, the useful gas, helium. There's a reserve, it's called the Bush Dome Reserve, just outside of Amarillo, Texas, strategically located near many helium-rich natural gas fields. The reserve was created in 1920 when blimps were the next big thing in national defense. And in the decades that have followed, the Bureau of Land Management continued to inject helium into the reservoir, which at its peak held 32 billion cubic feet of helium. Now, today, the reserve contains more than 10 billion cubic feet of the inert gas. And although helium is no longer considered a national security need, it is important to a large range of sectors, including chemical companies, semiconductor makers, airplane assemblers, and laboratory instrument manufacturers. It's also important for scientists who work with NMR and other instruments with superconducting magnets, who must keep those samples cryogenically cooled. And they require the inert gas for any number of reasons. But schools and so forth are starting to shut down safely their machines because here in the next few weeks, this BLM company that's managing, or the government agency that's managing this reserve, is going to shutter. They're going to close down. It's all about budget stuff. And the Helium Privatization Act, which was basically brought in by a bill in 1996. So they're trying to... basically, the government's trying to get out of the helium business and turn it over to private industry, which is good, but private industry is way, way behind. And they also, these folks are worried that the price of helium is going to go way, way up. They're saying that some universities and like the national labs, like 40% of their budget goes towards a helium purchase. And I didn't know it was that huge, but I guess helium is used a lot. I think last year they said 870,000 metric tons, I guess that's the correct measurement, was used. And being that we have a 10-year reserve at the Bush Dome Reserve, they feel that, and we also, the United States also supplies the world with 30% of their helium needs. So it, basically they say rising cost and lack of demand is probably going to make helium as, you know, as valuable as gold at some point. So see where this leads. But for those of you that are researchers or work in labs and so forth that need helium, love to hear from you if you can comment on it. Google, man, they came out swinging today. Microsoft won't make Office editing free on iOS and Android, so Google did. Quick Office probably won't be as good as Microsoft, but now it's free. So today Google made Quick Office, its app for creating and editing Microsoft Office documents, free to all users of iPhones, iPads, and Android devices. If you remember, Quick Office was bought by Google a year ago and had been provided to their Premier customers that were paying basically $50 a year for, or $50 a month. Yeah, $50 a year for the Premier apps and Google apps. But now they're just making it available to everyone. And you're also going to get an extra 10 gig of Google Drive storage for 2 years for free as well. So a little bit of a punch in the face to the folks over at Microsoft. Microsoft's also in the news today. They're talking about developing more TV programs as it readies Xbox One. Microsoft said it will expand TV programming beyond the shows based on its best-selling Halo game, as it tries to position the new Xbox One console as a portal for games, videos, and music. You can start by including content like this on the Xbox One there, Microsoft. You really, really could. But I think it'll be a cold day and you know what before that happens. The folks at RSA have told their customers to stop using NSA-influenced code. Officials from the RSA Security are advising customers of the company's BSAFE, BSafe Toolkit, and Data Protection Manager stop using a crucial cryptography component in the products that was recently revealed to contain a backdoor engineered by the National Security Agency. This is an alert sent by the RSA out. So it begins, folks. Companies are reacting, and big changes will be afoot. At the same time, talking about security of keys and so forth, there's a good article where makeuseof.com talking about, has your Android phone been affected with malware? And it talks about ways to look for malware and things that may be an indicator that you may be infected, and some tools to actually load on and be able to scan your phone as well. So be aware that that issue is out there. Firefox version 24 is now ready for you to download. So if you're a Firefox user, you'll probably get the update automatically, but the new interface is ready and a little different. They've made some changes here that have simplified Firefox for Android as well. So some big changes are coming here. So very, very cool. It's available, and I'll have to definitely check it out. Chrome has been pretty good for me here as of late. Hey, congratulations to they launched the Antares rocket. This is the first Cygnus commercial cargo spacecraft. It's on its test flight to the International Space Station. The launch went off on Wednesday. The Orbital Science Corporation Antares rocket liftoff from the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport at Wallops Island, Virginia at 10:58 a.m. on Wednesday, placing the Cygnus cargo aircraft into a low Earth orbit. So they have some testing to do to make sure that everything's working right. It'll maneuver towards the station and get ready to do a docking. The Cygnus is carrying 700 kilograms of supplies to the station on this demonstration flight and will remain attached to the station for 30 days before departing and re-entering. Orbital hopes that this test flight goes well, and they can start up regular cargo missions to station as early as December. Hey, the Department of Defense found his fax machine, and they're now accepting Freedom of Information requests again. So we talked about that on the last show. So I guess they went and dug one up, or probably took one from another office. The Wall Street Journal and All Things D decided not to renew an agreement at the end of the year. That means that some very popular writers like Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher are not going to be writing on all, basically bringing things to Wall Street Journal. They decide they're going to go on their own. And Walt Mossberg is going to be leaving the Journal. He says, I want to offer a heartfelt thanks for more than 20 years of personal technology comms, as well as his, you know, so that's a big change. But All Things D is going to start doing some sort of conference or something like that. So I don't know if he's fully, if he's retiring or what the true story is there. Google has made its new flat logo and app launcher style official. So we are getting a flat Google. Everyone's going this flat stuff, you know. I guess the designers are just lazy. But you'll start seeing this roll out over the next couple of weeks. Also, there's a great article on liveside.net. I hadn't been following this site before, but I'm going to start doing so today. I found a couple of articles on there today that piqued my interest. They're talking about Windows 8.1 and some of the things that are going to be introduced with 8.1 versions, the pricing. So this is kind of interesting. So it says, the big news today is that Windows 8.1 will be sold only as full version software. And consumers are now who are not using a Windows 8 device will be able to buy Windows 8.1 either download from Windows.com or a local store as a retail package. While the pricing varies by market, in the U.S., Windows 8.1 will be available for $119.99, and Windows 8.1 Pro will be available for $199 in the United States. So that is the pricing that you're going to have for Windows 8.1. Of course, if you've already bought Windows 8, this upgrade will be free. I've got two versions of Windows 8 sitting underneath this desk waiting to go on a machine, and it might be time to pull the trigger with the 8.1 update. Radio, RDIO, has announced a new documentary with Red Bull. Almost 1 year ago, we all of us were really pretty enthralled watching Felix Baumgartner, slowly ascend into the sky, not stopping until he'd reached the stratosphere. Then he basically jumped off this thing. And they've got a very cool documentary that's going to be released on this. And in conjunction with Red Bull, they're going to be presenting Mission to the Edge of Space, the inside story behind Red Bull Stratos. And it's going to be available for 3 months, beginning on October 14, 2013. At rdi.com/Red Bull Stratos. So we'll be talking more about this as it comes out. And that was an article over on Geek News Central by Alan. I want to thank him from that. For those of you that are like cool little experiments, Virgin Mobile has launched what's called Blinkwash. It's running a new video on YouTube. Again, it's called Blinkwashing. You'll need a webcam connected to your computer, which the YouTube page will calibrate your face and blinking. This will act as a remote control to switch the video up. Every time you blink, the video changes. It doesn't lose place of the in the script. It just changes the actual video part. So I haven't experimented with this. Jeffrey did, and his experience is on the website. You can check it out. Today, GoDaddy made a couple of acquisitions. Boy, I tell you, they're busy, busy, busy. And again, GoDaddy is continuing their newfound focus on small to medium businesses by acquiring domain marketplace Afternic, domain parking service SmartName, and name generator NameFind from Name Media. Of course, terms of the details were not disclosed, but Afternic, I'm pretty familiar with. It's a Boston company that's the lead domain aftermarket. They have over 5 million domains, and basically people are doing about 75 million searches a month looking for domains that are for sale. NameFind is a service that helps entrepreneurs brainstorm brand names for businesses, so that's cool. SmartName brings a level of domain monetization services to small businesses. They can earn money from domain names without having to build websites. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You can read about that. Again, GoDaddy's march to basically being a one-stop provider for small businesses. YouTube has also explained their offline video for mobile. As you guys remember on the last show, we talked about YouTube introducing this. And basically, Google is going to turn offline video on by default in the YouTube app. when it goes live in November. So basically, when you are subscribed, it will download the video and it'll be in your YouTube app for 48 hours. And anytime the app connects to the internet, it refreshes. There is going to be ads and so forth. So this will be curious to see how this is going to be rolled out, because you're not going to want to download one of my videos from YouTube into your mobile device. If you're using Pinterest, be aware that there's ads are creeping into Pinterest with the introduction of what they're called prompted pins. So this is the way they're dropping advertising in there on Pinterest. You knew it would come at some point. Great article over on Wired talking about nuclear-powered space missions and talking about the short supply of plutonium-238 by NASA. Basically, they're almost out. I think they only got like 7 pounds left of plutonium-238. So link will be up in the show notes. This is a great article with talking about a variety of missions that use plutonium-238 to basically power the spacecraft. Now, plutonium-238 is a byproduct created during the production of plutonium-239, which is made for nuclear weapons. So obviously with not a lot of nuclear weapons being built, this is one of the reasons why plutonium-238 is in such short demand. All right, Amazon's delivery lockers, remember those were going into Staples and Radio Shack? Well, I guess they haven't been doing so well. So they've got some of these booted from stores. They're just taking up space and not being used. I guess it didn't go so well. details are up in the show notes on the article from Wired. Dish had another big win by another court. Will not block Dish's AutoHopper TV network. So TV networks plan to shoot themselves in the foot in response, obviously. But this is a big victory here, and another one in Dish's corner. So those of you that use AutoHopper, it's still going to continue to rock and roll. Those of you that live in New York, listen to this. Without any legal basis, the New York Police Department has been classifying its own documents for more than a decade without a law to go along behind it. New York PD's in-house classification system has nothing legal to back it up, but they have been marking a variety of documents secret. The intelligence division appears to be operating its own in-house classification system, similar to those used at the federal agencies like the CIA, where Intel Chief David Cohen previously worked for 35 years. And so really what they're doing here is they're classifying their own documents, and which when they do that, that means that the Freedom of Information Act request will obviously go largely unanswered because the department is saying these documents are too sensitive. But if you are a taxpayer and you're paying for your police department to protect you and arrest people, why would they have to make documents secret? Especially when you, and I understand the sensitivities of an investigation, but come on, most of this stuff should be public information. When it proper time to be released, it should be able to be released. They're obviously following the lead of the federal government, but they don't have a legal basis to do it. So this is kind of a curious thing that's happened in New York City. A couple more articles for you. California College tells student he can't hand out copies of the Constitution on Constitution Day. So basically, this young college student was hanging outside the student building, handing out copies of the Constitution. He was approached by campus police officer after some discussion regarding the ridiculousness of shutting down free speech on Constitution Day. He was taken into an administration building, showed the rule book, and said, you have to stand here at this very exact spot. You have to schedule to be able to come out and make your speech or hand out something. You cannot do it anywhere else on campus. So this is pretty incredible that you're got a student that's going to college, place where people can express themselves, share ideas and so forth, and they are basically banning free speech. This happened at Modesto Junior College, obviously in Modesto, California. Huh. Makes you go, doesn't it? Has a they have a designated free speech zone. Sounds to me like Modesto needs to have a little protest going on. Linus Torvald admits he was approached by U.S. government to insert backdoor into Linux. Or was he? Now check this out. At the LinuxCom convention in New Orleans, Linus Torvalds was asked if he had ever been approached by the U.S. government to insert a backdoor into the Linux kernel. Here's his answer. He responded, no, while shaking his head, yes. And the audience broke into spontaneous laughter. So either he was served by FISA and said to do this, and it's a very interesting dilemma that your open source software may have a backdoor in it. But those of you that are programmers probably can dig around and look at that open source software and see if it's safe. ASCAP and Pandora have been at just basically each other's throats for a while, primarily ASCAP going after Pandora. But court has said that ASCAP can't selectively remove songs from the blanket license it gave Pandora. This is a big win. Big win by the folks at Pandora. And a big slap in the face by ASCAP. A huge win. Congratulations to Pandora. So basically, they're going to be able to play all the music that they were originally licensed to. Also, NASA's Mars rover Curiosity has been scouring the Martian atmosphere for methane. This is a potential tracer of the presence of Martian life. However, since the gas also can be produced geologically, any findings promised basically a debate that there could be life on Mars. That discussion may be able to be shelved permanently here because new findings from a team of Curiosity scientists show that the most extensive search yet for methane in Mars has come up empty. They're saying it's disappointing, of course. We would have liked to have got and found lots of methane and measure all the isotopes. But so far, dry hole. Okay. Let's move on here. California has become the first state in the nation to regulate ride sharing. Ride sharing such as Uber, Lyft, and Sidecar received a big boost today when the California Public Utilities Commission approved rules that allow them to continue to operate as long as they followed a few rules. This makes California the first state to adopt such rules and expected to preempt local governments who are trying to clamp down these services and try to regulate them like local taxi companies. Big win. Big win. Also, the hackers already been offered some money. They've been offered $13,000 in cash along with booze and maybe some travel if they're able to break the fingerprint security on the iPhone. So we'll see where that leads. But some cash is on the table. As I said before, the iPhone 5 battery life has been significantly reduced. I've got a good article from Extreme Tech showing exactly how much less or how much more power usage iOS 7 is using. I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, we're already running long today, but I said, man, I had a lot of stuff to go through. But Microsoft expanded its buyback deal to goose sales of Surface. They're now offering up to $350 for a wide variety of rival hardware powered by Apple iOS and Google Android. Grab that old Apple iPad, take it over there and get $350. Hey, Google's going to attack aging illnesses with new company. A company called Calico is going to branch into healthcare and medical research. So this is going to be kind of a cool spinoff for Google. We'll see where this goes. This has been really pushed by Larry Page. So this is big. And we'll see where this comes over time. Let me skip that one. Let's see here. There has been some... Oh, this is big news too. Unlocking your phone. The White House has basically sent guidance over to the FCC. They basically sent a petition to the FCC on Tuesday seeking to rewrite its rules and enforce mobile carriers to let consumers take phones to rival networks. Of course, there's a bill working its way through Congress would do more or less the same thing, but the administration has finally stepped up to that petition that was made, and they're basically trying to get the FCC to change the rule. We'll see where this goes. If you're an Instagram user, I've got a good article here from CNET that has a variety of apps that are not official that work with Instagram as well. And final for today, we can't leave without talking about a little bit about global warming. Arctic melt season over, leaving behind more ice than recent years. Of course, there was a stunning melt in 2012, but this year is only the sixth lowest on record. So a lot more ice is left after the melt. So people are surprised. We'll see. I don't think anyone can predict what's going on with this global warming. All right, let me go over to the comments that I got from email. Let me look at the today's date is the 19th. Last show was on the 16th. So that means that one there. Show number 890 and privacy rant. Todd, on show 890, your rant about privacy was great. But you didn't mention why it bothered you. I understand you being uncomfortable about tracking your children, but the real problem is what are they going to do with that information? That is for now, that is a California problem. What concerns me is the federal government tracking, reading our emails, listening on our phones. What are they going to do with that data? The real problem is its misuse. The current administration has used the U.S. federal bureaucracy to target its political opponents when the IRS went on a political motivated attack on any organization with Tea Party or Patriot in their name. Just think what they could do with all the information they are now collecting. Lest you think this is tinfoil hat talk, this has happened before. J. Edgar Hoover used the FBI to collect massive data and all politicians used that data to create a power base that made him politically untouchable. The government bureaucracy was used to create a list all the Americans that they thought were a communist or communist sympathizer. Senator Joe McCarthy used that to hold hearings and blacklist all that were on that list. Think what he could have done if he had something like PRISM as his disposal. FDR interned all Japanese Americans during World War II. What more would he have done with PRISM in the name of security? President Nixon would have no need to have crews break into the opposing campaign office. He would not ever have to worry about re-election if he had PRISM at his disposal. If those in power want to ensure that they stay in power, they will use all the tools at their disposal to target the opposition. My concern is PRISM will become one of those tools. It may also start on a local level with a school board tracking your children, all in the name of security. Jack. You know, why it bothered me, Jack, you know, what is, if we go and we looked at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you know, we have a reasonable expectation for privacy in this country, and we have lost that. Most people don't know what our rights are. You know, they say, I got the right to free speech. I got the freedom to practice my religion without persecution. But what do we find? We find religious organizations that are being persecuted. We find people that are having their First Amendment rights, impacted. We have people that are don't have an expectation of privacy anymore because of everything that's going on. So, you know, it just on. And the American people are allowing it to happen. They're not screaming at the top of their lungs. I think most of the people in this country are like sheep. I think they walk around or worse, they got their heads in the sand. And they just, it's not going to affect me. So they just keep taking and taking and taking. I want the government to be able to catch bad guys and get rid of them. You know, bad guys that want to hurt this country. Don't get me wrong. I want that to happen. I'm fully supportive of catching bad guys. But at the same time, we have to consider that they're American citizens where there should be no information being collected on them whatsoever. So, you know, in a school, tracking kids what they do online, you've got to be kidding me. When they become the police or Big Brother, you know, we all should really think about that a little bit. All right, I got an email from Dino. Todd, in response to your comment to my email about Apple in your last show, you said you didn't feel iOS 7 would help catch up the iPhone. He says, I don't think it will either, but Apple is clearly attempting to catch up by adding the many adding the many of the no-brainer features we've had on Android for years. Inevitably, many will be welcome this new iOS. I think mostly because it's something new, but there does already appear to be many jokes on Twitter about the cheap interface from iPhone users. I definitely loved and still love the original classy iOS design. Thank you so much, Dino. So Dino, thank you so much. And that was it for email. Real light this week. So what do you guys think of iOS 7? Still want to hear, hey, you guys agree with me on this privacy thing? Do you think I'm a tinfoil hatter? Do you think I'm a conspiracy theorist? Do you have anything to be concerned? If you've listened this long, I'd love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. And again, we've had an influx of insiders, and I got to take some time and get the list together and thank you all publicly. I've gotten a couple more checks in the mail. Hey, everyone that is supporting with cash, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you want to become an insider, geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's greatly appreciated. It helps us make up some of the difference. So we definitely appreciate it. And thank you for supporting the sponsor GoDaddy as well. They're our ace here. So take care of them. And thank you so much for being here and being part of the Ohana. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Went long. But boy, we haven't had a long one in a while. But today was worth it. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.